Good morning. Today's readings will be from Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, and then also Hebrews 4, verses 1 to 11. Hear these words of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, or your animals or the alien with your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And then Hebrews 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words: and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following the example of disobedience. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Bianca. Good morning, everybody. Great to see you here today, and thank you everyone for coming who went to watch the rugby yesterday, and if you were a fan of the boxing match early hours this morning, well done for coming as well. You get extra brownie points for that. Great to have you here. Let's pray and get stuck into what God has to say to us through his word this morning. Our great God and glorious Savior, we just want to take some time out and just praise you and thank you and worship you together as your saved people. Lord, our hearts rejoice with that song that we just sang. How marvelous, how wonderful, how deep, how wide, how great is the love of God our Savior. Lord, we know that there is nothing in all creation that could ever separate us from the love that we have in you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you so much, Lord, that through this commandment, through this wonderful sign and symbol of something greater to come, our salvation in Jesus Christ, and ultimately a beautiful picture of our salvation in heaven one day where we will eternally rest with you. Father, help us to understand fully what that means and the implications for our lives as people who love you, who worship you, and adore you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Open our hearts, open our minds, Holy Spirit. Help us to listen carefully, intently, and wholeheartedly, because you are about to speak to our hearts today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, today, as I said, we are dealing with the fourth commandment in our series on the Ten Commandments. And the big theme is obviously the Sabbath. And that's the day of rest or ceasing from our work. And I want to start off by saying this. What can happen for us today, modern 21st century Gentile Christians, is that we can overlook very easily how important and how vital and how central this concept was for God's covenant people many, many years ago, the Old Testament people of Israel. Because for a few thousand years, they celebrated the Sabbath in a way that was absolutely devoted. It was the centerpiece of their week. Life revolved around it. Commerce revolved around it. Worship revolved around the Sabbath. It was essential and it was central. Now, you and I can easily overlook that because, I mean, maybe you've got some Jewish friends or you've been to a place in the world that is in large part Jewish and has Jewish people in it. And if you have any Jewish friends that still really keep the Sabbath day in a devout and strict way, you know that they are going to do things different than you. They're not going to use any electricity on that day. They're rather going to use candles or leave the lights on from the night before. They're not going to eat any food that they cooked that day because they've had to prepare it the day before to make sure that they weren't doing any work on their day of rest, the Sabbath. They're not going to travel a long distance either. Even some who are very devout will not open their refrigerator to get a snack unless they've taken the light bulb out, because if you open the door and the light bulb is on, that could be a violation of the Sabbath, and you can't do that. Now, we Gentile Christians don't get this. I mean, am I right? Of course. But let me tell you, if you were to hop on board a plane to Israel tomorrow and you check things out for yourself, you would be able to understand the culture and the context a lot better. Let me tell you that. Because when it's time to keep the Sabbath in Israel, the Sabbath there is, as it was, from Friday night to Saturday night, sundown to sundown. And when that happens, everything shuts down. I mean, like, everything. You can't get a cab. You can't get an Uber. Business is closed. You can't transact anything. You can't do any kind of business. Everything literally just shuts down. I remember the story that an American pastor tells of his recent visit to Israel. And he said that devout Orthodox Jews will not use anything that is electronic by causing it to work through the pressing of a button. If you press a button, that is work. You don't do that on the Sabbath. And the thing he says, so in the hotel lobby room, he's waiting in the hotel, and there are two elevators there. One says, Sabbath elevator. The other one just says nothing. It's just a plain old elevator. And there's this long, long line of people all the way down the hall. And so he starts wondering, why does it take so long to get an elevator in Israel? And how come nobody's using that other elevator over there? And so he had a look and he saw, well, the people are only packing into the Sabbath elevator. The other elevator is just standing there, wide open for anyone to go in. No one's using it. It's weird, he thought. And so he decides he wants to check it out. He asks one of the Jewish folks standing in the line, says, hey, brother, is this elevator over here broken? Can I use it? Is something wrong? And the guy says, no, sir, that one actually works pretty good. It's fine. And he says, well, why is no one using it? Oh, that's not the Sabbath elevator. Now, apparently, the Sabbath elevator is pre-programmed to stop on every single floor so that you don't have to push a button. Isn't that nice? And so, guess what he does? He jumps into this unoccupied elevator, and a whole bunch of people just mob him and just jump in there with him and squash him like a sardine and say, can you please push this button? And they do that so that they won't have to violate the fourth commandment. Yes, it's true. Now, I found that quite amusing, I must say. But if you think about it seriously, this commandment does raise all kinds of questions for us, doesn't it? I mean, should we as Christians today observe the Sabbath law that God gave his people many, many years ago? And if so, on what day? And in what way? We just made. We can make a rhyme about it. But how does it apply to us? And does it apply to us or not? That kind of thing. There are lots of questions which emerge from the fourth commandment. And I'm going to tell you this morning, like last week, there are a couple of surprises coming your way, so put your seatbelts on and listen to this. We're going to read it together, and we're going to check out a few very important things about this fourth commandment. And there may be some surprises for you today that you need to listen to, which have really helped me in being enriched by God's word through this commandment as we apply it today. I've got some things on the screen I'll show you so you can follow with me. We're going to jump around a little bit as we have to, just to get a bigger picture of the biblical context of what this rule is all about. All right, let's read together. God says, Exodus 20 verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates." And a sojourner means traveler who is within your gates. Now I want to do a bit of a word study here because it's very important that we just take some time out and focus on a couple of words because they're important. And when he says remember, it's significant here. This word remember that he uses here in the original Hebrew is to take something that is from the past and use it in a way so that it would be useful now in the living in the present, but also that it would live on in the future. It's taking something from the past, using it in the present, but knowing that it's going to live on in the future. So it's not just a mental remembrance. It's not just like, oh yeah, you know, I remember the 95 World Cup. Eesh, awesome time, happy memories. Okay, move on. It's got no significance today. It's not like that at all. It's celebrating and modeling that which has gone before us so that it would have a definite future ahead of us. So he says, remember the Sabbath day. It's in the past, but it has significance for your present, and it's also very important for your future too. Remember the Sabbath day. Well, what is Sabbath? Well, we're going to deal with this a lot more, a bit further on, but basically it's a Hebrew word, Shabbat, which means cessation of work or rest, or just, you know, stopping work, stopping rest. And then he says, to keep it holy. This is important. Holiness in the Bible is a hugely important concept. In fact, it's the number one most frequently mentioned attribute of God in the whole Bible, that he is holy. What does it mean? Well, it means he's other. He's different from us. He's not like us. He is different. So he is sinless. We are sinful. We're created. He's eternal. We've got to learn things. He knows everything. He's different from us. He's holy. And so this concept of holiness that he's establishing here for his rescued chosen people gathered together at the foot of Mount Sinai is that for 6 days, they've got to work. They've got to do the same thing for 6 days of the week. They've got to get up, go to work. But on the seventh day, it's holy. It's set apart. It's different. Just like God is to us, so the seventh day is to the rest of the week. The seventh day is a Sabbath day, which means they must rest. Now, here's a couple of things I want to point out from this commandment. The first thing is this. It's a question. What is the purpose of the Sabbath rest? What is the real, original, genuine purpose of this Sabbath rest? For the people of Israel, this command was not meant to be a burden to them. Years later, the Pharisees would come along and they would make it a burden to them. They would add extra rules to the Sabbath commandment. They were very restrictive. They were horrible. They were harsh. But it was never meant to be like that. It was meant to be a joy and it was meant to be a blessing to God's people. You see, for the Israelites, the Sabbath day was meant to be a day marked by devotion and worship to God. And so after working all week, God's people were meant to, you know, put down their tools, stop what they were doing, come together and gladly with grateful hearts and joyfully worship God, their great, awesome God who had rescued them from the land of slavery in Egypt. Now, they were supposed to just relax together as well. They were supposed to spend time together as families, reading the scriptures together and praying together. It was a day set aside from the rest of the week for the purpose of special devotion to the Lord and worship of their God, enjoying the good life and the freedom that he had given them. But the main thing about this commandment is that it was also meant to be a sign. It was a symbol. It was a sign of something far greater that God had in mind for his people than just one single day of rest of the week. In fact, we get a big clue in verse 11 of Exodus chapter 20. This is what God says. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, this goes back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, all the way back to creation. And it looks at what God did after he created the world and everything in it. God rested. He rested. And his ultimate purpose for us is also to share in that rest with him. It's a very different idea than the kind of thinking we have today of what rest is all about. It's a different kind of rest than what we may think rest is about. It didn't mean that, you know, God's people were just meant to lie around by the pool all day, drinking lemon and lime mojitos on their lilos and just chilling and just resting. I mean, that would have been cool, but it's not the picture that God gives us. That's not what's meant by rest in the Bible. God's definition of rest in the Bible is not just leisure or holiday time or simply chilling out. God didn't rest because he got tired. He never gets tired. God's rest is because he finished creating. He rested because he was done. He had completed creation. And when he finished creating, there was harmony, there was peace, there was love, there was intimacy. Everything was good. Everything was perfect. There was no floods. There wasn't drought. There weren't earthquakes. Everything was under God's command, including all of creation itself. And God blesses it. He gives his creation his stamp of approval, and he says, this is good. And that's what rest is. Rest in the Bible is perfect harmony and peace between us and God and all of creation. That's rest. That's the biblical picture of rest. Perfect peace and harmony between us, God, and creation. And that is the goal that God has made. Rest is the goal that God has made for us. Which is why the seventh day is the only day that doesn't have a morning or an evening. It was an eternal day with no end. And you know what? If that's the way it had stayed, there would be no need for the fourth commandment, because we'd all be living in that perfect and eternal rest, and everything would be hunky-dory and perfect. But, you know, Genesis 3 happened, and things went a bit pear-shaped from there. They break away. God's people, Adam and Eve, fall away from God and break away from him. They break away from each other, and they break away from the world around them. They have no longer got the cooperation of the earth and the world around them, because everything gets messed up and marred and tainted because of their sin and rebellion against God. And this gets passed on to their children and their children's children. I mean, Cain kills Abel, and then Cain is driven away from God, and he becomes this restless wanderer. You see what happens? As soon as we get it, we lose it. And so from the very start, all the way from the beginning of creation, we're on a quest for rest. Because we're desperately trying to find rest, but we have no idea how to get it. We think we're looking for bright time, or rugby watching, or boxing matches, or that's the best we can do. That is rest, and that's our goal. We think that a weekend in Mauritius will do us the trick. But let me tell you, it's way bigger than just taking some time off. God wants us to know that the rest they had in the garden is what he intends for us to have in the future. That is what he's going to bring back in the new creation one day when Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead. He wants us to know and experience the rest that comes with true peace with God. Not having to search for rest or fight with God or be confused about it. He wants us to have that rest where we call God our friend. And we are at peace and harmony with our Creator in a relationship, a personal, loving, living relationship with him. So rest is not leisure, but it's living in a forgiven relationship with God. That was the whole purpose of the fourth commandment. It was meant to be a sign, a foreshadowing of that great, perfect, eternal rest to come in the future. So second of all, how does the New Testament interpret this commandment? How does the New Testament have a look at this commandment? Well, of course, just like everything else, everything changes when Jesus came. Everything changed when Jesus came into this world. Not just the Sabbath, but with the whole of God's law. Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. He says this in Matthew 5, verse 17. And what he's saying is that the whole law, all of God's Old Testament law, is fulfilled in him. You know, something radical happens with the law when it comes to Jesus. And this is why Romans 10 verse 4 says that Christ is the end of the law. Jesus came into this world to fulfill the law. And that's what he did. He came into this world, God becomes a man, and he comes into this world sinless, perfect, living a perfect life in full, complete, total obedience to the entirety of the law. He goes to the cross, he substitutes himself, he suffers, and he dies in our place for our sins as our Savior. And then, of course, he rises from death on the third day, and he completely, totally fulfills the law of God. He sets us free from slavery to sin and death so that now we can have this awesome, perfect, eternal relationship with him, life with him forever, and enjoy the blessing that comes with living in the freedom of the Father. But that doesn't mean that we can discard the law that comes from the Old Testament. We don't just throw away the law. What happens now in Jesus is that we can totally and completely understand its true meaning and its significance, and how it applies to our daily lives now that Jesus has come to fulfill it. And what Jesus says is, well, not only must I not murder anybody, I shouldn't even be angry with them in my heart. Not only must I not commit adultery, I shouldn't be lusting in my private thoughts and in my heart about anybody. And so when it comes to the fourth commandment and the law of God, Jesus shows us just how much more significant it is than simply taking a day off at the end of the week. The New Testament actually tells us that the Sabbath law is applied differently to Christians because it's fulfilled in Christ. Jesus himself says this in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. I've got it up on the screen. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In its basic, most basic, simple form, this is how this commandment is fulfilled and applies to your life and to my life. Our rest today is in Jesus. Jesus fulfills the Sabbath law. We rest in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Which means that every day must be lived as set apart for the Lord. The Sabbath equals our salvation. To obey the fourth command means to live in the salvation that Jesus has given us. So we don't just set aside one day of the week as a day of worship and devotion to God. No. Every single day of our lives must be lived in worship and adoration to Jesus, because he is our Savior. He is our Sabbath. And that also means that there are no good works that you can do that can bring you rest with God. There's nothing. There's nothing you can do that can bring you rest with God. Not being baptized, not being confirmed, not coming to both services on a Sunday. Doing good works on the Sabbath cannot earn you God's rest. Refusing to cut the grass or saying, "I'm not going to go to shops on Sundays," that can never ever make you right with God. Because it's only God's work and not our work that can bring rest and salvation in Christ. So if you want to keep this commandment, truly keep this commandment, you've got to come to Jesus. You've got to admit to him that you are restless and that you can never ever be free of the burden you bear. And he's the one who can and who will give you rest. If our rest is found in Jesus, you know what? That is the most liberating thing ever. It's refreshing, it's reviving, it's amazing. And you can experience it today in the here and now, because our Sabbath is our salvation. But you know what? There's more. If you look under your chairs right now, I'm kidding. There's more to come. That's not where it ends, folks. Because by finding salvation through Jesus Christ, we enter into God's Sabbath rest now. Yes, check. But there's still a final Sabbath rest that is still to come. It's waiting for all of those who put their faith and trust in Jesus. And that is awesome. Hebrews 4 verse 8, have a look at this passage. The writer of Hebrews says this, "For if Joshua had given them rest, that is in the promised land, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." And so what we get to understand from the New Testament is that the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, it's a sign of that great, perfect, eternal Sabbath rest that's revealed in the New Testament. Another passage that's pretty helpful for us is Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Let's pop it up there again. The Apostle Paul writes this, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath." Here's the cruncher. You ready? "These," including the Sabbath, "are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." Bam. Mind blown. Am I right? I mean, surprise, surprise. Isn't that awesome? You see, the rest is not found in the day. It's a signpost pointing to the ultimate final destination. It's a shadow of the ultimate reality that's still yet to come. I mean, look at your wedding rings right now. For the, I mean, you know, if you're married. If you're a wife, is that wedding ring your husband? Do you like, "How do I love you? Oh, you're such an awesome girl. Mwah." No, that would be weird. And husband's the same. Your wedding ring is not your wife. Your wedding ring is not your husband. You know, it's a sign that you're married, but it's not your marriage. To say that the ring is your relationship is just kooky and weird and all wrong. And the same way, you can't say that keeping the day special is the same as keeping the commandment special. Again, if you're on the road to Hogsback, something I've never done but I'd like to do, you won't sit by the side of the road where there's a Hogsback sign and say, "Oh, well, I might because I don't know where it is." But, you know, you don't sit by the sign that says Hogsback, you know, 10 kilometers, and you open up, you know, your sleeping bags and you think, "Oh, this is awesome. Isn't this wonderful? We're in Hogsback. It's awesome and fantastic here." That's just silly. And in the same way, the Sabbath day in the Old Testament is a sign that guides us to the real and true Sabbath rest, which is peace with God, here and now and forevermore in the future. So if that's the case, having said that, what are the practical implications for Christians today? Number three. You know what? For starters, it means you can pretty much go to to church any day of the week. You can if you want to. If we opened our doors here on a Monday, you know, you'd be welcome and it would be okay. In fact, my brother flew us to Canada a couple of times in the last few years, and we went to church on a Saturday afternoon. It was pretty weird. It was cold, but it was fun and it was different, and that's okay, you know. The first Christians met traditionally on Sunday because that was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It was a great idea, a very nice symbol. But it had nothing to do with the fourth commandment. In Acts, they met like every day. Every single day they met for church and they worshiped together. Because every day is special. Every day is the Lord's day. But I do want to say that you should make sure you do go to church every week. Not because it's the Sabbath, but because it is absolutely essential and vitally important for your own spiritual growth. And it's also very encouraging for the rest of your brothers and sisters here at church when we see you together and when we gather together. And also, this commandment isn't saying that you can't do sport on a Sunday or you can never ever do an assignment or anything like that. But here's the wisdom part where you applied. I don't think you should do it at the expense of meeting together with God's people. And I want to say this. It's something we need to hear very, very carefully at Emmanuel Church. I've noticed this. I really have. And very lovingly, I want to say, yeah, it's not a commandment, but God is not happy when we put other things in front of him and things that are more important than what he says is important. And believe me, the number one thing that God says is important is us regularly meeting together. Not coming to church once a month, camping the rest of the months, or taking our children off to all kinds of things. Every Sunday, except for one Sunday, we'll come to church. We cannot do that. That's not the way God's people are meant to be. God's people, of course we have freedom and you can go and you can chill, you can camp, come to church on the Sunday night, whatever, that's fine. But don't get caught in the trap of not meeting together regularly. Because it's not my thinking, it's God's thinking. He does not want us to stop meeting regularly. He wants us to gather together for worship and adoration to Him and for encouragement and edification and the building up of God's people here at His church, which He loves, which He died for, and which He is using to empower His mission here on earth. God loves this church. He wants this church to grow. He wants this church to gather. Think about that. God takes it very seriously when we regularly, consistently, gather together as His people, His church. That's got to be our first priority, brothers and sisters. Well, the other application is that if one day is not more special than the other days, well, you know, the opposite is true. Every day is holy. Every single day of your life, you've got to worship God, and you can worship God. That's why, you see, the thing about holding to an Old Testament view, it can be problematic. And you can become a bit of a hypocrite, I think. You know, being good on one special day, you come and you lift your hands in holy worship and prayer, but then the rest of the time of the week, you don't think about God. You don't read your Bibles. You don't teach your kids. You just live as if you're part of the world. That's not what God wants for us either. So make sure you're faithfully loving and serving God, honoring Him and obeying Him 24/7, and not just on a Sunday. There's no such thing as a Sunday Christian. The last thing I want to say, I do want to say this. I believe that physically and emotionally, it's not a commandment, but it's a very, very wise thing and a very practical thing to take a day off from the rest of the week to rest. Because if you don't take a break, your body will break and your mind will break. If you don't take a Sabbath rest voluntarily, you will take a Sabbath involuntarily. We call it stress, depression, ulcers, burnout, heart attack, hospitalization, and all those kind of negative things. God doesn't want that from you. He hasn't wired you that way. He wants you to take a day off and enjoy that break. We've seen the true meaning and application of the fourth commandment for us as Christians, but I don't think it's insignificant that God tells His people all the way back in the Old Testament to take a day's rest during the week. Because after being slaves in Egypt for a very, very long time, always working, always slaving away and never resting, now God rescues them and He says, "My people, I want you to work hard for 6 days, but I want you to take a break one day of the week because I love you and I know it's best for you. And you know what? That's how I designed you." I believe that that is the way God has designed us to live as human beings made in His image. You know, it's very interesting today. I mean, we live in a world where people don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in God. They don't want to worship God. And yet they're very happy to observe a seven-day week. It's interesting, isn't it? You know, there were two experiments historically, one in France and the other one in Russia, where with communistic, atheistic revolutions, they tried to do something different. They tried to do something other than a seven-day week because they didn't want their culture having anything to do with the God of the Bible. They didn't want their culture living out the instructions of the Bible. And so they tried to change things around. Guess what happened? It failed. It bombed. And they went back to a seven-day week. Go figure. It just seems that logically and biblically, it's the way God has wired us. It's the way God has designed us as His created beings. And so, while I do believe that the Old Testament Sabbath day rule itself in its context is no longer binding on Christians because it's fulfilled in Jesus and applies every day, I do believe that it's a very wise thing to take a day's rest from your work and from your study during the week. You should use that time to be spiritually refreshed, energized. Spend quality time connecting with your God, with your Lord, with your Savior, and with His people. In our context, it will most probably be a Sunday, as we do today, but that's fine. It might be a different day in another culture, in another context. Whatever the case may be, use that day, you know, to come to church, worship with God's people, and then afterwards, go chill. Go have some fun. Relax with your friends and with your family and with God's people. And just, you know what? Enjoy yourself. You can pop into the shop if you have to. Buy something, you know, the pastor's coming. He wants to see me. You know, don't do your monthly shopping. You know, don't do everything because that's just going to stress you out and defeat the whole point. Go have fun and relax and chill with your friends and your family and God's people and enjoy the wonderful blessing and the privilege of living in the freedom of the Father. Now, I do want to say that there is room for disagreement on this issue. I will concede that. Romans 14 verse 5 and verse 13 allows for that. Paul the Apostle writes, "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind." And verse 13 says, "Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother." So look, if another Christian thinks differently about the Sabbath than you do, it's okay. Don't judge them. Love them. Talk about it. Debate about it. Have a cup of coffee. Go, ha, 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 okay, agree to disagree. But don't judge each other. And don't feel like you're being bullied by them either. Don't let people bully you on this issue. You know, just be convinced in your own heart, in your own mind, if you think that it's wrong to do certain things on a Sunday, or if you feel free to, that your Sabbath is every day in Jesus. It's quite possible that what I've said today might be offensive or might make some Christians feel uncomfortable. I do realize that. I'd love to chat about it some more, if perhaps that's you this morning. But just remember what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 14 about it. It's a debatable matter. It's disputable. And we don't have to fight about it. We can love one another and agree to disagree. One thing I want to end on is this awesome and amazing quote from one of our famous, very inspirational church fathers, whose name is Augustine. And he lived around about 370s. And this is what a quote from him in his devotional time around about 378 AD. I think I've got it on the screen. Do I? No, I don't. Let me read it to you. Augustine said this: "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts will be restless until they find their rest in you." Isn't that true? You can take a day off during the week, but you can still be restless. You can chase religion, and you can never find rest. But if you come to Jesus and you put your trust in Him, you will find peace with God and you will understand the true perfect rest that He has on offer for you. And you can make every day holy and set apart for your relationship with God through Jesus. Because He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I wonder if that's you here this morning. Maybe you're just sick and tired, or maybe you just don't know what's, maybe you are feeling restless, and there's something missing in your life. And I want to tell you that something is Jesus Christ. You will never ever be at peace. You will never ever be satisfied. You will never be content. You will never find satisfaction or fulfillment in anything in this life apart from a relationship with the living God through Jesus, the one who gives you true rest. Rest now, eternal rest forever. If you'd like to be part of that rest and enter into that relationship with Him, won't you please come and chat with me after this service? I'd love to guide you and lead you into a relationship of rest with Him. Let me pray. Find rest, my soul, in God alone. What comforting words and true words, Lord, that nothing in this world will satisfy. Nothing in this lifetime will bring us contentment apart from living in the freedom of the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for this wonderful reminder, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful symbol that the Sabbath law was. Thank you that it applies to us today in the sense that it means our salvation in Christ. And we look forward to that beautiful, amazing, awesome rest where there will be no more crying, no more sickness, no more disease, no more pain, no more disorder, for the old order of things will have passed away. We will no longer feel depressed. We will no longer feel oppressed. We will no longer have anything to worry about or to fear, because Jesus will be among us and we will rest forevermore with Him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.